Good morning. It's a great privilege to be here and very thankful for it. I apologize to Bob when I came down the aisle for ambushing him. And it's been hard over the last few months that I've known this was going to happen, and he and I have been interacting not to sort of tip the hand that this was coming. I'm so thankful for the privilege of being here, partly because of my friendship with Bob. As it was mentioned, we were in college together. The first time I actually think I heard of Bob was there was a guy from the church that I grew up in that they were both interested in the same girl, a girl named B. Klutz. I'm glad that didn't work out, Bob. Didn't work out. But Bob, Bob's Bob, and he had back then, it was the alligators on the polo shirts, and there was this group called the Pillars of the Assembly that talked about Tacky Bob Johnson, and this guy was jealous of Bob because he had the Klutz girl. So then I got to know him as we were in ministerial class, and certainly am incredibly thankful that over the last 30 plus years that God put us along the same pathway, because it's this kind of testimony given about him today that I would say that I've known and seen for over 30 years, and his desire to serve the Lord and walk faithfully with him. And Kathy and I had freshman speech together, and I got to torment her in there. And enjoyed that. Let me ask you to take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I will say this morning that I am so thankful I didn't pick a text in Romans. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to just take a few moments and have us look at the Word of God. You can see the title there, Ministry in the Model Church. This is, I think, a great opportunity for you to rejoice, as was said earlier in the service. Pastoral tenure is not normally 25 years, and so it's a great mark in that regard. I've been privileged to serve where I am. In 2 weeks, it'll be 26 years. So I was just a year in at Inner City when I came over to do the installation here, and at that time I followed a pastor who'd been there for 40 years, and it seemed to me, as I looked around actually and sort of watching, because the expectation in our church was long time pastorates, and by God's grace that's what I was thinking would be the case. Obviously he's in control of all that, but as I looked across the landscape around, I watched a series of things happening over those first couple of years I was there, some happening really while I was coming there, and that is that there a pastor who had just celebrated his 30th anniversary at the church, and a couple months later they were asking him to leave. Another one had been there 25, and essentially the church was sort of imploding and cratering. Another one was in that 25 to 30 year range and really was in a turmoil, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, so What went wrong? What happened there? What would cause that to be the case? And obviously I don't have the mind of God on it. There were things that, as a young guy, so when I was called back, I was 27. So I was just really young and trying to figure out what it's going to be like to have a long ministry. At least one of the things that the Lord sort of put in my heart to do was to make certain over the course of the ministry that he would give me, it was to keep at the very center of the church the exposition of Scripture, and particularly those portions of Scripture that keep realigning the church with its mission, helping the leadership of the church to stay on focus with what God says is really important, and would encourage the congregation to think about the church the way we ought to think about the church. That what was happening in those assemblies, it seemed to me, is that somewhere along the way, they had just gotten slightly off trajectory, and eventually that being off trajectory was going to produce a tear in the church. There was going to be a conflict there some way. And I believe, based on the testimonies today and from what I know of, I'm going to say Bobby. I know I'm going to say Bobby, so I hope you won't mind that. I'm referring to the older one when I say it, because it's always been Bobby or Bo Bob for me. But the reality of it is that I know in Bob's heart and in the life of this church that God has graciously kept the central things the central things. So what I'd like to do this morning is simply look at one of those texts that helps us to think that way as an encouragement and reminder to you, and I hope an opportunity for you to have fresh resolve that by God's grace, the greater days of God's glory at Cornerstone Baptist Church are not in the rearview mirror, but are ahead in the forward as God continues to work. Please look, if you would, at verses 12 and 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But we request of you, brethren, I'm reading from the New American Standard, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. If you know the backdrop of Thessalonica, Paul was there, the book of Acts 17 says, for three Sabbaths reasoning in the synagogue. I think there may be good reason to think that he was actually in Thessalonica for more than 4 weeks. I mean, because three Sabbaths could be anywhere from 15 days, right, into 23 or so. But in all probability, before the riot broke out, there was some time that Paul ministered there because there was enough time for them, for him to say, you saw how I lived among you. There was enough time for Paul to be writing back to them, and in chapter 5, the congregation already has leadership in place which are serving as shepherds of the assembly. But any way you look at it, it was a very short-term ministry, but it was an incredibly powerful one through the Word of God. Here, Paul had gone into a pagan city, had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and chapter 1 says, they turned from serving dead idols to worship and serve the Lord, the true and living God. And now he encourages them to think about the church in a church, he says in chapter 1, which is an example to all the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. They were a model church. He encourages them to focus on having the right kind of ministry. And here's all I want to do is just draw two points from this text and then make some applications to it. The first important ingredient to this kind of ministry in a model church is that the congregation must cultivate proper responses to their spiritual leaders. And you can see that very clearly in verse 12. It says, appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Verse 13, it says, esteem them very highly in love. So what he's calling on them to do, I mean, literally the Greek word is know. But it's not like just know who they are. It's actually recognize them in their service for Christ, recognize what they're doing with a sense of acknowledgement and appreciation for it. Have a sense of the gift that God gives to the local church of men who will be teachers of God's Word. Because that's what Ephesians 4 says, right? When Christ ascended to heaven, he gave gifts to men. And 4:11 includes in those gifts pastors and teachers. So acknowledge and recognize the gift that God gives to an assembly of people when there's someone who will serve the way this verse talks about. Have an appreciative recognition of it. Acknowledge it, honor it, hold it in high esteem. That's what verse 13 says. Esteem them highly, very highly in love. So it's also an affectionate regard for them. That is, it's not just that you acknowledge them. Yeah, oh yeah, Bob's the pastor. Or yes, these men are pastors or elders. But that you actually have a respect for them that is described as being very highly and in love. That there is a disposition in your heart to seek good for them. Because that's what biblical love is, right? It's the choice of the will to seek good for the object of that love, even to the point of sacrificial. And Paul's really not saying here, feel real sentimental about your pastors. It would be good if you did, but it really is that you would love them with a Christ-like love because, look at verse 13, because of their work. That you acknowledge and see that the work that they're doing is the work of Jesus Christ to help build up His church. It is the work of God to cause His word to spread rapidly and be glorified. And because of that work, You ought to have a kind of heart and disposition toward them that wants to be a blessing and to do good to them. That's what Paul's saying to them about their proper response. And I praise God this morning for seeing that in you, that that's the heart that you have. And not just because Bob is a winsome personality, which he is. He's a great guy to be with. But there's lots of guys week by week who stand up in a pulpit and are friendly, winsome people that people sort of look at, they maybe want to hang around with. But they are not men who are preaching the Word of God faithfully. And what really needs to be in a church is that when God's Word is opened and actually what God says might run cross-grained from your life, so it doesn't come necessarily as a soothing message, but as the Spirit's sandpaper to sort of rub out the un-Christ-likeness in you, to shape you and as a congregation, to mold you into the glory of Christ, that when you see your shepherd willing to do that from a heart of love, it ought to evoke in you a kind of estimation of him that causes you to praise God for that courage with the word and ought to put into your heart a love to seek to minister to him who's ministered to you. And can I say to you this morning that it is so encouraging to see that at the center of what you've been saying about your pastor is the recognition of his commitment to this word and being faithful as a steward of God's truth, that he would be trustworthy with it. Don't ever lose the desire to have the main thing that your pastor is responsible to do be the main thing. Don't lose that. Retain that. Keep at your heart and in the center of your lives an exaltation of God through the exaltation and exposition of his word. Because you have been blessed with a phenomenal preacher. And that is the work of God in his soul. So pray for him that he will never lose that. Pray for your church that you will never lose that love for the word. May God continue to make Cornerstone a place where the word of Christ is broken open every week for the glory of God. Because that's what the ministry is here. Look what it says that these men do. It is that they diligently labor among you. You should appreciate the cost of what they're doing. And you've heard some about that today, that there is a kind of weariness that isn't necessarily physical that comes with shepherding the people of God that is hard to understand until you've stood next to the coffin of the person whose soul you will give an account to God for. Until you've gone to bed having heard just in the last hour of some great burden that's falling on God's people or some great problem that's coming up and you lay your head down and it's prayer, not sleep. Until you can appreciate all of that and have a sense of the cost that goes with serving Christ in the place that he has put a shepherd, you won't appreciate them as you ought. And not just the cost of it, but the end of verse 12 says the very character of that ministry. They have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. That is that God places shepherds there to lead and to feed the flock because God knows that we need that. We're all susceptible to temptation and error. Paul warned the elders at Ephesus that there would be savage wolves from outside, but even some from within who would rise up speaking perverse things. The devil is never happy when a church is doing well. And he will always bring attacks and temptations to it. And God's appointed way for dealing with that is godly and gifted men who will lead according to the scriptures and follow the direction of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And so be thankful that you have that kind of leadership and appreciate it and pray that that will always be the case. And then they give you instruction in the Lord. The word there is admonition, that they would speak to the mind and will and call them to obedience following Jesus Christ. What a great privilege it is to have a faithful proclaimer of God's word. What an important thing it is that that be the center of the church. So cultivate proper responses to their spiritual leaders. And look at the end of verse 13. Paul says, live in peace with one another. Maintain peaceful relationships within your spiritual family. I mean, here's an interesting thing, right? Here's an attitude and an action that they'd have toward the leadership of the church in the assembly. And he talks about appreciating them, esteem them. And then he says, and live in peace. Because few things distract from and drain the life out of shepherding than peacelessness among God's people. Because it's the very center of the gospel, right? Ephesians chapter 2 says that Jesus Christ, He Himself is our peace, that He came in stepping between God and man to be our peace and to bring us together. And that peace has been established by the Spirit, Ephesians 3. It's the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that peace, Colossians 3:15, the peace of Christ is supposed to rule in your hearts, even as He's called you in one body. If there's any way in which we make the gospel visible to the community around us, it's when we model out and live the peace of Christ that God has established for us with Himself. And so shepherds feel the heat right at that gap. Because the body of Christ, Jesus prayed, is to be one so that all men will know that He was sent by God. So one of the best gifts that you can give to your pastor on his 25th anniversary is to live in peace with each other. And where that peace has been broken, where perhaps even in a church that's largely unified, there are people whose hearts are holding on to something which is not being resolved through the gospel, why don't you consider today as a peace offering? To say, Lord, I want Your peace to rule in this place. I want Christ's peace to rule. Because that's what the gospel is about. That's what we hear from this pulpit week after week after week. And it does no good to come in and hear a great sermon and sneak out that door so you won't see the person who's sitting over here. Because that doesn't model the peace of Christ for an unbelieving world to see. Live in peace with one another, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Two charges from Paul to this church at Thessalonica, which is a model church. So he's not saying they don't have it. He's saying excel more in it. Is make certain that your response to your spiritual leaders is one of affectionate regard and appreciative recognition. And resolve the tensions that come into your relationships by the gospel of Jesus Christ under the leadership of God-given shepherds. So let me just make a couple of words of admonition. Bob, finish well, buddy. Finish well. He and I have talked a lot about this because it seems like a number of folks that we studied for the ministry with have come up short. I mean, just last night, I got in actually from Africa yesterday morning, so hopefully my mouth is operating the way my brain is. So, actually maybe not. Hopefully the Lord is making my mouth work no matter what's happening up in my brain. But my wife and I were seated and I got a text from someone that we had been in college with studying for ministry and his first words are, I'm afraid that I've apostatized. And so I'm texting back and forth with him, trying to encourage him to turn to Christ and take his focus off himself. And I would, if I'd have gone back 30 years ago when we, 31 years ago when we graduated from college, 32 years ago, I would have never expected that. So buddy, don't take your eyes off the Lord. Stay close to Him. Stay focused on the main things. Keep dreaming about what God could do for His glory here. I mean, we're still young. Don't quit before Christ tells you to come. And simplify, focus your commitments and maximize your gifts for God's glory. God has used you and I'm sure will continue to use you greatly because you want Him to be magnified. Don't let go of that. Don't let go of that. Those of you that serve with Bob, this text talks about us diligently labor. Let me encourage you to work hard for Christ and model the peaceful relationships that is supposed to mark the church. You know, sometimes churches are divided because the people who serve them are divided. May God give you real unity as you serve together, focusing on the work of Jesus Christ. Work hard to be of one mind. Don't let division come into you as God's people. Be faithful to the Word. As a congregation, let me encourage you to gladly, joyfully accept God's gift to your assembly. I am so encouraged to see you so thrilled with your pastor. Because I know and you know that that's not the way it is in a lot of churches. That there are men who feel like they're just continually going against the wind. And so let me encourage you not to let that be lost, not to lose sight of what is really central and the fact that has been held up and exalted, that Christ in His glory. Did you notice when you saw that word cloud there, the three biggest words I saw? God, Christ, and the church. Those are the three largest words that I could see in there. That's been the emphasis. Don't lose that emphasis. Keep a joyful heart about what God is doing. It's not always going to be smiles and happy. It is never going to be in a sin-cursed world. But keep your focus as a congregation on recognizing the gifts of God to you in the leaders that He's given to you. Give your pastor and pastors reason to rejoice over your soul. Can I say to you, go back to that funeral setting? Hebrews 12:13-17, we give account for your souls. Make it your ambition because of your love for Christ that they'll be able to stand there with confidence. Because your love for Christ was so clear that they could see in your soul the work of the gospel. Make that it your ambition as an assembly. Pray and strive for Cornerstone to be a visible display of God's peace through Christ. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, this may seem like the weirdest service you've ever seen. But it's a service rejoicing in what God has done through the good news about Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, these folks would love to tell you how you can have your sins forgiven, you can have a new life in Christ. I know their heart would rejoice at seeing you come to know their Savior because they're here because they love Christ because of what Christ has done for them. Don't lose that. Don't become a church that's distracted about other things. Keep the central thing the central thing. Bobby, Kathy, would you come to the front and center? I think the elders are going to come and circle you or connect with you in some way. Here in the front, we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I think Jeff and Johnny are going to pray. And take an opportunity here, really, I think, just to give thanks to the Lord, but also consecration to the Lord for the work here. Let me begin, lead us in prayer. Father, we come today with great joy in our hearts over what You have done here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. We know that it has been You, and that anything that would deflect from Your glory would be contrary to the heart of Bob and Kathy. That it is what You have done in them and for them and through them, for which we give You praise, because You have chosen to work through vessels which are made of clay, so that the excellency of the power would be Yours and not a man's. And so we praise You, we thank You for that. But we do know You've told us in Your Word that we should honor those who devote themselves to the work, to esteem them very highly. And so we're grateful we've had this opportunity. And here this afternoon, I pray that You would protect Bob and Kathy from the attacks of the evil one. You might keep their hearts tender before You, tender toward each other, tender toward Your work, that nothing would come in that would rob them of their joy in Christ, that You would anchor them in the good news of Jesus Christ, that you would protect Cornerstone so that it never loses its first love, that it keeps its focus on what you have intended the church to be and do. And we pray, Lord, for their power, that you would continue to use the preaching and teaching and leading and counseling of Bob and the ministry of Kathy alongside of him, that it would not come in word only, but in spirit and in power. That it might be that every time the word is opened and he stands in this place, that your spirit would use him to the changing of lives, the conversion of souls, the building up of your church. Lord, may the days ahead be days of even greater evidence of your power through the gospel. May there be no diminishing of that. May the glory that you display through the power of the Spirit be evident, entirely, clearly evident. And Lord, may this church continue to reach this community and reach beyond this community into this region and to the ends of the earth so that the people that you've given to your Son might be called out. He said he has other sheep and they will hear his voice. And so we pray, Lord, that you would ignite that kind of heart to reach the lost and see them become followers of Jesus Christ from here to the nations where you're calling out a people for your name. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this service today. And thank you for what you're going to do. As we ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Lord God, we've heard many wonderful words of encouragement of Bob and Kathy, and I know that it probably drives them nuts having to hear people heap praise on them. But we, Lord, want to thank you for what you've given us. We want to thank you for the faithfulness that they've shown to us. We want to thank you for the example that they are to us on how a man is to love his wife and how a wife is to love her husband and how they're to raise their children. You have provided so many great examples for us, Lord, and we want to thank you and praise you for that. We thank you, and we ask, Lord, for more faithfulness. Help them to continue well. Help them to continue focusing on your word, Lord. Many of us know how the devil attacks after we've taught the Word of God, and we know that Bob stands up here on every Sunday, and we know that Sunday afternoons are rather difficult for him, Lord. We know that with Kathy teaching the self-confrontation class, which I've heard many reports on how difficult that class is and how and vitally it is important in the people's lives that they've taken it. We know that she would be under assault also, Lord. So we do pray, as they've prayed, for protection on them, Lord. Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you would help us, the congregation, to fall in love with God's Word the way that Bob is in love with God's Word and as he brings it to us every single week, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for what you've given us. Help us never to take it for granted, and help us to continue to grow and become more like Christ in order that when it's time to present the church to you, that we can present you to you a bride that looks like Jesus. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we are thankful for the people that you bring into our lives. We're especially thankful for the people that we can look up to as examples, that we can follow and emulate. But Lord, there is nothing like the people you bring into our lives that are patient with us, honest with us, kind to us, endure and are faithful to us. There is nothing like the impact of people that come into our lives that point us to Christ, that show us to Christ, that teach us about Christ. And so, with all that has been said this morning, with all that has been done, we are especially thankful for Bob and Kathy, for how they have pointed us to you. Father, I think of how Paul said to the Philippian church, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That is what Bob and Kathy have done for us. We pray that they would continue to do that. We pray that you would keep their hearts from sin, that you would protect them from straying, that you would keep them humble and faithful. Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to them in great ways, and that would flow out of every fiber of their being and into ours. That as they continue to lead us, as Bob continues to preach your word, as they continue to serve our church, as they continue to set the pace for us, that we would keep up, that we would follow them as they follow you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.